Come on, somebody. Got a wonderful relationship. Everything's going. Y'all clicking on all cylinders. You pray. Y'all sick of one another. You still pray. And that's what you want to learn to do. Be a person who prays all the time because God is ready to manifest his glory in your life. And so you need to develop an effective prayer life.
An audience with the Almighty on this Tuesday edition of Destined for Victory. Hello and thanks for tuning in. While communication is the foundation for any healthy relationship, in your marriage, with your friends and family, even with your boss or your coworkers, honest and open dialogue is a critical element in achieving relational or vocational success. It's the same way in your relationship with God. And today, Pastor Paul Shepherd wants to help you build, or perhaps rebuild, a solid foundation of prayer. If you can't stick around for the full broadcast, visit PastorPaul.net to listen on demand or download the free Destined for Victory mobile app. But right now, here's Pastor Paul with today's message, Foundations for Effective Prayer.
The first two messages in the overall prayer series, we talked about prayer matters. And my focus there was just to help you understand that prayer is not a wasted exercise. It's not merely a religious formality. Prayer matters. Prayer makes a difference. I don't care how educated you get. I don't care how technological the world gets. We will never be able to advance past the place where we need the power of God manifested as a result of our prayers. We will always be needy people. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture, and sheep need a shepherd. And you and I need the Lord. We will never not need him. So he gave us the tool of prayer. And he said, I will do great things if you learn to pray. So we talked about the fact that prayer matters for a couple of messages. Now I want to continue in the prayer theme. And specifically what I want to do is talk to you about developing an effective prayer life. As I said in the previous part of the series, not if you pray, but when you pray. And I want to encourage some of you who don't come from a prayer background to learn to get comfortable praying on a regular basis in your life. You need to make prayer part of your everyday ongoing experience. You don't want to become a person who only prays 911 prayers. You ever met the type that some folk only pray? You know they're in trouble because they're praying. The people who know you ought to not know what's going on because you pray all the time. In the good times, you pray. In the bad times, you pray. Things going well, you pray. Things going lousy, you pray. Got money, you pray. Broke, you pray. Come on, somebody. Got a wonderful relationship. Everything's going. Y'all clicking on all cylinders. You pray. Y'all sick of one another. You still pray. And that's what you want to learn to do. Be a person who prays all the time because God is ready to manifest his glory in your life. And so you need to develop an effective prayer life. So here's what I want to do. I want to just talk you through a couple of keys that Jesus gave us for praying effectively. The first key is found here in Matthew chapter 6. Go there if you have your Bible. I want to give you two practical keys for developing an effective prayer life. Matthew's Gospel chapter 6. And the first thing I want to do is look with you at verses 5 and 6. Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Jesus is speaking. He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret," or some translations say, "the secret place, And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So the first key I want to give you, because I want everybody to learn how to pray, even if you don't come from a prayer background, I want you to be comfortable. You can't be a good follower of Christ and you can't experience God's glory and God's best in your life until you become used to being a praying person. And the first key is converse with God exclusively. That's the first thing Jesus teaches us here. Converse with God exclusively. What do I mean by that? Even if other people are present, they might hear you pray, but you're not praying to them. You are praying to God. In other words, you have an audience of one when you pray. Others might listen in, but it's like you're on the phone with somebody. You might be in the room, but I'm not talking to you. I'm talking on the phone. That's what prayer is. You might be there and hear me pray, but I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the audience of one that really matters, and that is God himself. I want you to understand what Jesus is saying here. Look again at verse 5. He said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. Who's he talking about? Religious people of his day. The Pharisees and such would go out into public places, he goes on to explain, such as standing in the synagogue and also on the corner of the streets. And that's where they would do their praying. Now look at what Jesus said. They had their reward because their purpose in praying openly and in those conspicuous places is to be seen by other people. I want you to learn to pray not for the purpose of other folk knowing that you pray. I want you to learn to develop prayer as a pattern in your life because you come to understand I am touching God himself when I pray. Now, Jesus isn't saying you can't pray around other people. That's not the point at all. He's saying, understand when you pray, you might pray around people, but you're talking to God. These religious people that he rebukes in this passage are folks who want to be seen. Their whole motive is, I want folk to think I am so spiritual. I want people to think that I'm really close with God. And so really, it is not about the audience of one. It is about being seen of men. I came to tell you, God doesn't care that you pray around other people, but he wants to make sure you know you're talking to him and that he is the one who matters. Because to be seen of people, Jesus said, you have your reward. Whatever they think, you got your reward. But how many know when I pray, I need a reward from heaven? I need God in heaven to hear me and answer me because God in heaven can do for me what none of these raggedy people around me can do. Why am I going to pray and try to impress you? What you have for me? If you say, oh, he's so spiritual, doesn't matter. Because if my heart's not right, you can think I'm spiritual, and God is looking at me saying, I dare to tell you, some of the folk you think are spiritual, they are not what you think they are. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And I hope you understand, it's not important what people think of you. It is important what God knows about you. So Jesus makes this statement because he wants to contrast people whose motive is to be seen of men against people whose motive is to be heard by God. And I don't know about you, but I want a heavenly hearing when I pray. And he's not rebuking that. When he says, go into your secret place and shut the door, he's not giving you a legalistic standard. Like, make sure nobody's listening to you when you pray. No, that's not the point at all. Look right through the scriptures. There are times when people prayed and others were gathered with them. One person led out in prayer, but they represented the hearts of all the people. Nothing wrong with that. That's what we do in church. We have one person lead the main prayer in the service so that all of us can unite our faith together and agree with that prayer. Jesus isn't rebuking that. You can pray around people, but you can't be praying to be seen of people. You get the difference? Because at the end of the day, the people don't have anything that you could really use. If they think you're wonderful, that's because they don't know you. That's just the truth. We just need to quit tripping. The people who think we're all that, that's proof you don't really know me. Because I'm some of that, but I'm not all that. People who think you're all that, they don't really know you. You're some of that, and then you're some of some other stuff. Oh, I wish I'd get some folk in here to be honest for just a little while. Yes, you do have your strengths. Yes, you do have your great points. Yes, there are some things about you that are bomb, to be sure. But there's some other stuff about you that if God in heaven doesn't help you, doesn't do something for you, you are a mess on two feet. You might as well just be honest. Quit thinking you're all that. You're some of that. Next time you introduce yourself to somebody, hi, I'm some of that.
There's plenty more to come your way on today's Destined for Victory, so stay with us. Remember, in addition to radio, today's program is also available on demand and on the go through our free mobile app. Search Destined for Victory at your app store. You can use the app to order resources, send us your prayer requests, or make a safe and secure donation. You can also listen on demand at our website, pastorpaul.net. That's pastorpaul.net, your online home for the Destined for Victory ministry. In your tithes and offerings, in your thought life, and in your prayer life, the true test of your character is defined by what you do when no one else is watching. Here's Pastor Paul with the rest of today's Destined for Victory message, Foundations for Effective Prayer.
You're not all that, but you're some. Bible says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Then it says to think soberly. Doesn't it say that in Romans 12? Think soberly about yourself. So the Bible doesn't say you got to have low self-esteem. Oh, I'm nothing. I'm pitiful. I'm poor. No, doesn't say that. You can acknowledge your strong points. I'm really good in this area. Thank God. You can give God the glory. He's blessed me to be this or that or the other. But then just know there's some other stuff you don't necessarily want to talk to folk about. So let's just leave it at this. So Jesus is saying, it's not that people can't be around, but your motive has to be heard in heaven. In fact, before he gets to this point in Matthew 6, Jesus says the same thing about your giving. He says, when you give your alms, don't do it to be seen of people. Same principle. You can give offerings publicly. In fact, you should, because we got to receive the Lord's offering so we collectively can advance the kingdom through our giving. They did it in the early church. They pulled their resources so that they could take care of the needs of the people coming into the family of God in the days of the early church. And so there's nothing wrong with people knowing your giving. We take offerings and it doesn't have to be secret. Jesus even watched folk give. Do you know how the reason he was able to say about the widow who gave a mite? He said she gave more than all of y'all. Now, how would Jesus know that if he wasn't looking at the offering while she gave it? She just outgave y'all. Why? Because he's looking. It's not that you can't give publicly. In fact, in a local ministry like the one I pastor, we need you to be on the record giving. Because we need to know who we can count on, who is advancing the kingdom through their giving, so that we can know that you are a member in good standing. I need to know you come regularly. I need to know that you're willing to serve in the kingdom to help us do the ministries. And I need to know that you will give faithfully so that we can advance the kingdom collectively through our giving. That's what we call in our church a member in good standing. I'm telling you right now, don't write me needing a reference. Pastor, I need a reference. And you don't give on the record, you don't come all the time, and you don't serve anytime. Don't call me asking for a reference, because I'm going to write the people you need the reference from and say, I don't know. I need to be able to say, no, no, he or she gives faithfully. They're here regularly. They attend regularly and they serve. They help us. They pray. They support. That's a member in good standing. If you're not that, you're just a member on paper. Amen. Amen. Be on the record. It's not so you can brag. I don't want the credit. Fine. You don't need to get any credit. But I need to know if I'm a steward, then I'm accountable for stewardship. And the Bible says all of us are stewards. Everybody is a steward. And therefore, you want to be counted on. You want to be somebody we can rely on. And so don't do that false piety. No, I don't give. That's why I don't give. Use the envelopes. You might end up with a benevolence need. Pastor, can the church help me? I'm going through a crisis right now. Can the church help me? I'm going to say, I don't know. Because I don't know if you are sowing, serving, giving. I don't know you. Ooh, Pastor tight, but he right today. I don't know you. Because you haven't let us know. Be on the record. It's a wonderful privilege to help you. Because you're one of the people we count on to move forward. Not that we wouldn't assist somebody who's brand new in some way that we can do it. But the fact of the matter is, develop a track record. You see what I'm saying? Because people have to know you. It's a principle. It's just a principle of stewardship. And it is true in the kingdom of God. And so he talked about giving in the first several verses of Matthew 6. And then here in verses 5 and 6, he talks about praying. And he says, converse with God exclusively. People can be around, but how many know there are some things you need to pray about and people don't need to hear that? Have y'all gotten to the place where there's some stuff you need to say to God and you look around first, see if anybody in the house? Because I need to talk to him about some things that are so close to my heart. Some of them are delicate situations and you can't afford to be overheard. So sometime, okay, I'm in here now, but I don't know if somebody, because some of y'all have a house somebody could slip into and you never heard them. Some prayers then you need to pray near the door. So that if you hear a key in there, I finished talking to you about this, Jesus, later. I'm not telling y'all what I think, I'm telling you what I've done. You had them people slipping on you and they catch you in one of those real situations and you pouring out your heart. When you say amen, you open your eyes and they look at you. Listen, there are times when you got the best thing for you to do, get in your car and drive somewhere and pray. Oh, I'm trying to help you develop an effective prayer life. Get in your car, drive somewhere, talk to God. I'm serious, y'all. There are going to be times you got to get as far away from people as you can. Why? Because I got to pour out my heart to God. So to develop an effective prayer life, you want to converse with God exclusively. Make sure even if people are present, there's an audience of one. It's okay for people to be present, but make sure you know who you're talking to. You want to pray real prayers. You want to get through to heaven. And so let God hear from you exclusively. You know that he is the audience of one. If other people are around, they can agree in prayer if they want or not. Doesn't matter. And when prayer becomes effective and regular in your life, it's almost like breathing. You get into prayer all the time. It's nothing special for me to pray because I'm in prayer mode all the time. I'm talking to God all the time. And that's why it's not a religious practice. It's just what I do. I'm getting ready to eat. He provided. The Bible says learn to appreciate the fact that he provided this for you. And you give thanks as you get ready to eat. That's what grace was. If some of us little Sunday school children would tell y'all who didn't grow up in church, we were taught to pray these little prayers over your food because they were just getting us into the habit of prayer. How many of y'all learned to pray as a child going to bed? Now I lay me down to sleep. Stuff like that. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. They were just teaching us how to engage God. I pray at night now, but I don't say those words. Why? Because that was just getting me in the habit of talking to God. When we prayed over food as kids, God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food. By his hand we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen. Chow down. They were teaching us, thank God for the food, and to pray and recognize him and then pray. See what I'm saying? Doesn't matter what your words are, it matters where your heart is. And you don't have to be a religious terrorist. If you're dining with people who don't pray, don't make everybody in the table pray. Don't nobody touch it. You ever met those kind of people like that? They terrorize the table. You don't have to do that. I'm going to pray over my food. If everybody at the table knows the Lord and we can say, hey, y'all want to stop and pray? Good, because I know it's not going to be a problem. But sometimes I'm dining with people, they don't know the Lord. I'm not going to make them pray. And, you know, if we're in talk, they can keep on their talk. And I bow my head and I just pray over my food. And it's up to them whether they pray over theirs. I'm covering this. This is blessed. This right here, I'm getting ready to eat. This blessed. Y'all, good luck. You see what I'm saying? I hope you're blessed. I know this is blessed. You know why I'm praying over it? It's not religious. It's because I don't know who back there in that kitchen. I don't know what kind of day they had. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know who they're mad at. You know, if they back there and they don't care one way or the other what happens today. And then I'm about to put it in my mouth? I need to talk to God. God bless this. The inference is if they put something in here that's not supposed to be, intentionally or inadvertently, take it out, Lord. Neutralize its impact. Amen. Shoot, I'm not going to put myself in your hands. I'm putting myself in the Lord's hands. And so you have to learn to pray. Pray about everything. And make it normative. And the way to do that is always know I'm talking to an audience of one.
The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing, to be in constant communication with God. If you long to build an effective prayer life but don't know how, Pastor Paul has written a booklet that can help. It's called Building a Beneficial Prayer Life, and it's yours by request for your gift of any size to Destined for Victory. You know, prayer is one of our most powerful spiritual weapons, and yet many believers in Christ don't use it often enough. If you've never had a consistent prayer life, if you don't know how to pray, you'll want to contact us today and request your copy of Building a Beneficial Prayer Life. Pastor Paul takes you to Acts chapter 10 and Luke chapter 18 and other passages to show you the importance of a healthy prayer life as well as its benefits. Again, it's Pastor Paul's booklet entitled Building a Beneficial Prayer Life, and it's yours by request for your gift of any size this month. Call 855-339-5500 or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Again, our address is Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. In Psalm 107, King David writes, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed." Here at Destined for Victory, we believe in the power of prayer, and we believe in praying with you through the storms of this life. To send us your prayer request, please visit PastorPaul.net, click Contact Us, and share what's on your heart today. While you're there, be sure to ask for Pastor Paul's monthly letter of encouragement, which comes at no cost or obligation.
Here's the way Jesus put it in Matthew 7. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door will be open. What's the inference? If you don't ask, don't expect to receive. If you don't seek, don't expect to find it. If you don't knock, nobody don't open the door. You haven't shown that you are proactive in seeking.
That's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Foundations for Effective Prayer. I hope you'll join us. Until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.